On this episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But the Debrief,
we all get jury summons. This is why, listen, where's my camera? If you get a jury summons, go.
They never gonna pick you though.
I know.
Once
they're gonna
figure
be
out
like,
you do
oh,
what
man.
You do.
They're gonna be like, here's her, put up her TikTok.
Kick her out.
Pick me. Pick me.
There you go. No. Man gonna go with recorder and everything.
I'm gonna, can I
ready.
Record this part? Can I make a video?
Now, if you're not ready, then go ahead and tell me you're not ready.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives.
In other words, the car didn't hit him, and he wasn't hit by the car.
I'm not a lawyer, but...
Are y'all keeping up?
I'm not a lawyer, but...
The Debrief.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But...
The Debrief.
Oh my goodness.
I like
sir.
That.
I am your host, one of your hosts, Melanie, aka I'm Not a Lawyer, But, and my co-host
Gooseberry. How y'all doing?
Yes, that is the co-host, my husband, aka
Gooseberry.
On this podcast, we basically cover all things trial, lawsuits, legal stuff, break it down, hopefully in an accessible way, an interesting way, a storytelling way, give you all the goods on what's going on with a little humor, a little like I did the research and I'm going to give you the information. And Greg is going to probably give you He's probably going to respond in the way that you are thinking or you would like to respond that I would never say or do.
I'm here to support you.
So we'll see how this goes. Today on the docket, we have
YSL.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk about Diddy again.
Again.
Calvin Riley Sr.
Yep.
And we're going to speak, well, I'm going to speak on the eclipse.
Oh, Lord.
Interesting, though.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't wait to hear what you've come up with.
Yeah.
Okay.
I shedded my skin. I'm a new person.
So let's start with YSL because it's the never ending trial.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The trial that gives even when you don't want it to give. But something that came out yesterday, that I think is, just interesting to cover. I'm going to put it up on the screen is that, so actually I should give a little context before, what's been happening is that this trial has obviously lasted for a very long time. And one of the attorneys submitted a motion that was like, judge, you got to do something because if you don't, we're going to be here until 2027. Yeah. So please make the state do something. They have to cut down on their list of hundreds that they want to bring in to testify. Many of them are duplicates. Many of them are not really useful. And so the judge required the state to produce a new updated list, a cut down list. Okay. So this is the list that was released yesterday. It is cut down to 209.
Hold on.
Some of these we've gone through already because it starts with number one. So we've gone through about 40-ish.
Okay. So this list.
This list.
Has been cut down to the next clip you just
to 200. No. This is the combined down list, 209. Yeah. But there are some notable things about the list.
Uh-huh.
Number one is that number 68, that person's name is Walter Murphy, and you notice it says co-defendant. He is actually on the stand right now. And the reason why he is notable from this list is because Walter Murphy is the alleged co-founder of YSL Street Gang. And yes, and he has been a longtime friend of Young Thug. And he took a plea deal. And if you're unfamiliar, many of these plea deals required that you get on the stand and testify.
Yeah.
And so today he is fulfilling that obligation. He is on the stand right now. Testifying. I've been watching it literally all morning, so I have to do a recap from today about what he says on the stand.
Do we know how many founders there are?
It's more than, allegedly, according to the state, it's more than Thug and Walter Murphy, but I believe those are the only two that have been listed in the indictment and included.
Oh, okay.
So there is another one.
He a big weed.
Who claims that he is, has said it on, like, publicly. Mm-hmm. However, he is not included on the indictment. And people, that is not me, okay, but people mm-hmm. say that this other person, the reason he is not included on the indictment is because he actually this part is true. He used to be represented by the current Fulton County DA, Fonnie Willis.
Ah.
So he was at one time represented by her. And of course, this indictment was brought about by her. He is not included. He has never been one of the people indicted.
So is that conflict of interest or is that like?
I don't know why he's not there.
I'm looking out for you.
He's not there. And he is vocal. He has been vocal about the fact that he is one of the founders.
I am him.
Yeah. Dang. So anyway, like I said, Walter Murphy, a.k.a. DK, if you've watched the trial at all, you have heard the name DK many a times. Walter Murphy is DK. And again, he's on the witness stand right now. Number 102, you'll see, says D. Lamar, and he is a lay witness. That is actually Rich Homie Quan. Rich Homie Quan's real name is DeQuantes Devante Lamar. I hope I'm pronouncing his first names correctly, but D. Lamar is Rich Homie Quan.
You said two D's. Demonte?
Uh-huh. Well, DeQuantes Devante Lamar is his first, middle, and last name, but I'm just, you see that says D. Lamar. That is Rich Homie Quan.
I thought that was his first name.
No. Actually, And before I even keep going, let me shout out Thugger Thugger on Twitter, because that account is on top of this case more than anybody at all, and actually he's the one who tweeted this list, so I just want to give props where they're due. But anyway, 102 is Rich Homie Quan. So as of now, in this updated list, he will be called on the witness stand.
I just want to mention,
yep,
rappers and just entertainers, their real names versus their entertainer name is
always
Rich Homie Quan.
Rich Homie Quan.
You got Devante
DeQuantes.
DeQuantes.
Devante.
Devante. Lamar. Mm-hmm. Rich Homie. What?
RHQ. He's actually been brought up in the trial already. There's been pictures of Rich Homie Quan on the screen with Thug, so they've already mentioned him already. Mm. The next one right under Rich Homie Quan, okay, that second one, 103, is Birdman. Brian Williams is his first and last name. He is on the list. So as of now, they are saying they intend to call him. And if he is subpoenaed, he will be required to show up to that courtroom. Somebody in the Patreon said, let me make sure I'm not on this list. Double check, girl.
If you're a rapper in Atlanta, you will probably have come in contact with Thug.
100%.
I'm surprised. Well, what's his name? Harris. What's T.I.
T.I.'s not on here. There he's was talk about him initially, but he is not on this list. Lil Wayne was on this list. He's in this updated list. He's now gone. Mm-hmm. Gunna.
I'm quite sure.
Is gone. He was on this list. He was included in the indictment. He took a plea deal. A lot of people had a lot of things
Gunna
to say, but he is
ASAP.
Not going to be required to testify. Unfunk, who I think I told you guys about last week, which is Young Thug's brother, who also took a plea deal, then violated the terms of that deal, and now he's in jail. He is no longer on this list, so he won't be called to testify. After Birdman, again, who's number 103, if you go to 153... I'm going to go to 153. You'll see it says R. Bennett. Do you know who R. Bennett is?
R. Bennett?
Mm-hmm.
He's a rapper?
He is.
R. Bennett. Give me one time. Let me say Atlanta rapper?
Atlanta rapper.
R. Bennett. And you ain't said his name yet?
YFN Lucci.
I was going to name him, but I figured he wouldn't be because he's in jail already.
Exactly, and that's why he...
They don't like each other.
Exactly, then that's why he would be called to testify. If there, as the state says, there is the beef, the gang beef has been between YSL and YFN, those camps.
Yeah.
And when you're in jail, it's a lot easier to get you to show up to court.
Oh, yeah.
Versus when you're not.
Sure.
And he's in jail right now. Obviously, his he was also facing a RICO a couple months ago. Everybody included in that RICO took a plea deal, including YFN Lucci. He was sentenced to basically a couple months, and he'll probably, well, he was sentenced, but they said he only has to serve, I think it was 4 months, so he'll probably be out by the end of the summer if all that goes through. But if he's called to testify before that time and he's in jail,
yeah,
he will show up.
He's probably got all that time served. They've been in jail for so long. If he gets out, or when he gets out, and if Thug gets out, these guys are about to have some crazy albums.
That's what everybody's saying. Everybody's album like, sales. We want the music.
No, nah, I'm not talking about they albums are going to be good.
Oh.
I ain't say that. They're going to. The sales and the streaming is going to be crazy.
Absolutely.
Any and everybody's about to. This they've gotten the most promotion and marketing there is.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Okay, so that is the updated witness list. The other thing I just want to touch on before we move on from YSL is that, obviously, like I said, DK, Walter Murphy, is currently on the stand. If you're watching this on Friday because you're not in the Patreon, today is Wednesday. So DK got on the stand today after lunch. But before DK got on the stand, there was a man named D'Angelo White, who is currently an inmate as well. And he has been causing all types of ruckus on this stand. He is not, I mean, and saying not cooperative is not even, it doesn't even explain what's happening with him on the stand. But he is on there, and it's because a part of the indictment over overt acts, I think it's like 30 through 34 or 6, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But there are some overt acts that basically that involved this man, D'Angelo White. And the state is saying that on, I think it was April 12th, 2015, at a gas station, a sit-go, Walter Murphy, DK, and another man were shooting at D'Angelo White and three others. And so they have this attempted murder, basically, charge. And so D'Angelo White is called to the stand to testify about what happened, who was there, all of that. What the state is saying and what they're referencing while they're talking to him is that they have spoken to him prior to today, prior to him being on the stand. And he apparently, according to them, was open and honest about who it was, what happened, how it happened, all of that stuff. And now they're like, you're on the stand, and now all of a sudden you can't remember anything. Mm. And so he is on the stand, and I'm going to play this clip, but then I want to ask you a question about your thought. I'm going to ask your you a question. We'll see how that goes.
People who are, I'll put it this way. How is it?
Context. Who is talking when I start this is the state. The state is talking, asking questions to D'Angelo White, who's on the stand.
Or is there any impact in being here today, considering where you being in prison?
Objection, vague.
I sustain the objection. You can rephrase.
How is people being forced to testify, produced to testify in prison views, favorably or is it negative?
Only for one, when you came and told me, when you seen me down the road, I told you I was testifying on what? This is not my case. This don't have nothing to do with me, period.
Okay, so what I want to ask, so he's on the stand and the attorney is asking him basically about snitching. When you're in jail and you're called to testify, is that looked upon favorably, is the word that he's asking. And he's alluding to the fact that you're here, you're not cooperating, and it's because you don't want to be looked at as a snitch, because that could become a problem for you. Mm-hmm. Every time they have an inmate or a person even on the stand, they keep alluding to this. And I just find it so interesting that as the state, you are aware of the danger, the true danger that you are putting these people in, and yet you call them to the stand. What are your thoughts about the state recognizing true danger, but because like that, one of the defendants last year was stabbed in jail, and Fulton County has had way too many deaths in their jail, like within a year's time frame. I just keep finding it you have to prove a case, and that's where I struggle, right? Because you have to prove a case, and wrong is wrong. And if this is what's required to prove a case, I get it. But also, how do you, y'all are finna make him get on this stand and then send him back to that jail and say, have a good day?
One, does Young Thug have a wardrobe in jail? Because he got like this flannel.
Listen, it's nice,
sweat
huh?
On. And I'm like,
his sweater is nice. I have the same thought. That sweater
What's
is really
happening?
Nice. I agree.
Two, man, the state, the justices don't give a damn about
That's
them
true.
Boys.
That's true.
They like you said, there's a case to be won.
Yeah.
They need to find somebody guilty, and they gonna do that by any means. And that's just a simple fact of the matter. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of laws have to be passed to where they have to put these guys in different parts of the jail.
Yeah, right.
If they're going to do something like that. Because yeah. Like you said, you have, he could do what he's doing now and not say anything, but just the simple fact that he was there, they're going to think, oh, he's a snitch. Oh, he said something.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, happened. And what they're reading to him is the transcript of what he already told them.
Oh, okay.
So what becomes even more of a problem is right now you're not saying nothing, but what they're reading is what you said. And he's saying, of course, I ain't say that. That was not me.
Yeah.
But if they're reading for everybody to listen to what you said, which was, according to them, snitching.
Yeah. They, man, I don't. I'm sorry for you guys in jail, but you have nothing.
It's
nothing.
It always it keeps blowing my mind because they keep doing this to all of these people. And then they're like, well, what they said, and the reason why you can't see this guy's face is because they're saying, let's not show their faces on the screen. And I'm like,
but you got his full
name. His
name
is D'Angelo White. And in a few of these recordings, y'all give his phone number. Y'all give addresses for people. I could probably Google his name and Thug right now, and a photo will show. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's very easy to figure out who these people are. And it's just, I don't know. It sucks. Of course, I'm probably not helping because I recorded and then I'm like, here's what happened in YSL today. But at the same
the damage is being done.
I know.
And you're sticking up for these guys
now. Well, and I think it's important for people to witness how the justice system works. Like how, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And I think being able to catalog and capture and recap how trials go so that people can have insight into what's happening. I think it's important. I care. So that's why I do it. But I'm also like, and when I make videos, I try to cut out addresses and phone numbers and things like that because it's wild that kind of stuff happens. I don't know. Anyway.
But they should, honestly, if I'm willing to snitch or tell on the people and help you out, you can at least, okay, this is what you said. Don't bring him into court. We have his verbal, written situation.
That's what they be telling him too.
We have him testifying on tape here. Take that video, take that written statement to the judge, to the jury. Let them see what he said. This is what he said. And for his protection, he won't be in the courtroom. But what happens is, and what has been happening for centuries?
A
maybe
long
centuries.
Time. We'll go with it.
Yeah, a long time. They have these people, these witnesses out in the open. And then these, especially the mobsters, when back in those days, they just go kill the witness.
Yeah.
How dumb can you be? Oh, yeah, Mr. Goobzy, he's going to come testify on this date and that date. And he's out in the free world, but he's going to come testify against one of the biggest drug dealers there is. And he has no protection at his home. Man, I'm about to send my people. Man, make sure he don't get on the stand.
Well, here's the problem, though, and Kat is raising a good question, is that confrontation clause exists, right? As the defendant, you have the right to confront who is accusing you or making a statement against you. So the state can't just take a statement in private and be like, we're not going to tell y'all, but we got this, because the defense has a right to cross-examine, to say, you said this about me? And what did you say? And where were you? Well, what about, like, they have the right to. And so
all of that should be done behind closed doors. Period. That's what I'm saying. Everybody.
But then I can't make TikTok.
I know. But many lives could be saved.
I know. I know. And I acknowledge and recognize the seriousness of all of these things. So I was being funny. Anyway, I just want to play quickly a piece of how D'Angelo White has been on the stand. He was released. Again, he was released today. Thankfully, he gets to go. He said the estate was reading the statement to him. And in the statement, when he was talking to officers prior, the officer said to him, or investigator was like, do you know what department I work in, or something like that? And then D'Angelo on the stand, he said, the only department I want to go back to is Department of Corrections. And I was like, because the whole time he's just been saying, take me back to jail. I want to go back to prison. So anyway, it was funny. But anyway, here's a quick clip so you get a taste of how he's been on the stand.
I don't poll to be here. I poll to be in Changang Prison. I don't even know why I'm here. This ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm already doing a 10-year bid that I'm doing 2 armed robberies and hijacking. This doesn't have nothing to do with me. I don't poll to be here. I'm going to keep sending y'all that. With all due respect, man, I'm ready to go back to prison.
This is a compilation, in case you haven't caught on. Compilation I made.
I'm there trying to defend my 36 month out of 10 years and go home. Feel me? So you're going to force me to be here. Y'all going to force me to be here.
1987 free money. Somebody shot.
Quick, again, interception, because they play the day that the incident happens, somebody actually is shot, right? There was some fire exchanged or fired. I don't even think it was both ways. One of the 4 people were shot. And so this 911 call is made regarding it. Now just listen.
Okay, hold on for the ambulance, sir. Don't hang up, okay?
Hey, hurry up.
I'm still on the line with you, sir.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes. And we do have help already started. What's your name?
My name is D'Angelo.
And D'Angelo, tell me exactly what happened.
Yes, ma'am. He's 26.
Okay, listen, I was asking, was it a male or female? Is he awake?
He's a male. Yes, he's bleeding. He's bleeding. He's bleeding.
D'Angelo, calm down. I'm trying to ask you these
questions. My name, calm down. You see the man, son?
Ms. White, is that 911 call that 911 you're listening to? You call 911 after your friend Pooh was shot in the head?
No, sir. That wasn't even me.
Did you call 911 for your friend Pooh? Pause. Was concerned?
Okay, so, because I got confused a little bit.
Okay.
That was a call. Somebody called
The
police saying somebody's been shot.
Yes.
Okay. Then that clip is... the court is asking him.
Okay, yep.
D'Angelo.
So the state just asked him, was that you
that
was called?
Was
that
you? Uh-huh. Okay.
Because you heard the name.
Yep.
Okay.
Also heard the voice.
I left because I had a firearm on me. I left my phone, so that wasn't me. I was on first offender probation. Got on, ran through the cut. My sister came and picked me up on the side street. And then, this ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm going to keep telling you that.
I just want to ask you, yes or no, do you recognize the people that were there?
Do you recognize?
So, did you ever have a conversation with Detective Dennis on July 13, 2015 about what happened to your friend Cooper?
No, it's not my friend. You going to keep making the man be my friend? I got my own crime, my own time I'm doing. It don't have nothing to do with me. I don't pull to be here. Why you keep... What do you not understand? What did y'all not understand?
Ms. White, do you recall...
I shouldn't be here.
Do you recall the text?
I'm ready to go back to prison. I don't supposed to be here. I don't recall none of that. All I recall is going back to prison.
Mr. Atkins, we need to take a comfort break. So.
Yes,
He ain't supposed to be there. He keep trying to tell him.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this. My opinion.
Okay.
It ain't facts. The guy that I hear in the courtroom.
Sounds like him.
Sounds like that guy on the phone. Could be, you know, I don't know.
Here's the thing that.
But the same cadence.
You think it's him.
He's jumping off. He's jumping off right at me.
Here's the thing that matters, though, right? Because a jury of your peers is us, right? Like, we done all got a jury summons before. I have yet to be picked, and I want to be picked. But we all get jury summons. This is why, listen, where's my camera? If you get a jury summons, go, okay? I know a long time ago, a lot of black people used to come, I don't wanna, and I know that it's a lot of problems sometimes with jobs and all of that. When you can, you should serve on juries. When you can. All right. That's my little public service announcement.
They never gonna pick you though.
I know
once
they're
they
gonna
figure
be like,
out you do what you do.
They're gonna be like, here's her, put up her TikTok.
Kick her out.
Pick me. Pick me.
They go, no. Mayor gonna go with recorder and
I know,
everything.
Can I record
ready.
This part? Can I make a video? No, but it's a it's as a person, okay, regular person. When you experience that, when you experience someone who is obviously and currently incarcerated on the stand,
yep,
you hear and see his hostility, his reluctance, hesitation in answering questions, saying he was there. You probably understand the idea of snitches and how not favorable that is. You hear that call, sounds like him, could be him, but how would you interpret or take that? Like, what would you take all of that? Would you want to completely dismiss his testimony? Would you want to, like, what do you think? Because, right, the point of his testimony and what they're trying to get at is DK, who is the very next witness, is connected to Thug. And these crimes were done in connection with Thug. And this guy is a part of that. And he's kind of telling the story. Like, how? What do you take from it all?
To me, in these situations, if you don't have hardcore evidence, videotape, witnesses that are, like, putting these guys together, you're just asking questions, yeah. and they're simply just going to say what he's saying. I'm not supposed to be here. I done did my 36 months, man. Let me go home. And for me as a juror listening to this, if you're questioning this man about his connection to another person,
yeah,
and he's already done his time for some crimes he's already done as a me personally,
yeah,
if
yeah.
I'm a juror, I'm like, send this man home. Mm-hmm. He did his time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now figure everything out. Figure out the connection between him and Thug another way, but he done did his time. Yeah. And that's how I feel. I'm not trying to keep digging down to put him back in jail for something that he probably, for his connections with this man. And I always feel like this. If you're a criminal and the way they portraying these guys, if they are who they suspect them to be, they gonna be back next year.
Well,
they coming back. They ain't just about to, well, I don't know. The eclipse might have changed their image. You never know.
Could be. Okay. Well, that's my wrap on YSL, kind of the latest. Like I said, DK on the stand. So if you don't follow me on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and all the places, you should, because I have to recap DK and it's going to be interesting.
I ain't supposed to be here.
Hello.
Y'all keep trying to make me beat. Look, man.
Let's move on to Diddy. So here we go.
Should we say Diddy's?
Sure.
Plural.
Yes. Because last week, there was a new lawsuit filed. I think we were recording this podcast when it happened last week. There was a new lawsuit filed against, if you are looking at the screen, the first name is Christian Combs. Who is Diddy's son, Christian King Combs. And then it says Sean Combs, as well as John and Jane Doe's 1 through 10 and ABC Corporation's 1 through 10, which those are listed when a lawsuit is filed and the plaintiff is not yet aware of the names, but know that there are more names. You can just list them at John and Jane Doe's and ABC Corporation's. And that just says, we will continue to investigate this and come back to you with an updated complaint in which these people and these names are called out. So that is that. The plaintiff in this case is a woman named Grace, and she is suing. This is a civil lawsuit, so she is suing for money. That means civil. Assault, battery, sexual assault, premises liability, aiding and abetting, intentional infliction of emotional distress, negligent infliction of emotional distress, and there's a demand for a jury trial, which is typical. And it was filed in Los Angeles, which I want to come back to that. As it gets into who the defendants are, I just want to highlight that there's a picture, again, included in this lawsuit. That is not typical, okay? When lawsuits are filed, they typically don't include pictures of the defendants, okay? Pictures of as evidence, sure, but not, like, of the defendants. And then I just want to read some of the blurb from it, which is, defendant C. Combs is a 25-year-old, so Christian, okay, 25-year-old, auto-tuned, heavily edited rapper, okay? The next one says, unfortunately, as the saying has it, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Defendant Sean Combs, meaning Diddy, who has also been accused of several acts of SA, violence, drugging, among other deplorable conduct, is the father of Christian Combs, who has seemingly taken after his father and the family business of reckless partying, drugging others, sexual violence, and other illegal conduct. So,
who wrote this?
Exactly, right? So, and that's why what we're going to talk about, because there's shade, right? In a very simple way, there is shade in the lawsuit, okay? Calling him a heavily edited rapper is insulting and wild to include in the lawsuit.
How do you write that first sentence?
Exactly.
And then go down a couple of more and say sexual assault, yes, and battery in the same...
100%. Right. So the guy on the left is Tyrone Blackburn, and he is the attorney of this lawsuit, as well as the attorney on the lawsuit that was filed back in February initially against Diddy. It was the plaintiff in that case is Rodney Jones. Okay, so this guy on the left, Tyrone Blackburn, is the attorney that is filing these lawsuits with all the shade. He includes, like, he's the one who included the footnote that was like a Philadelphia rapper that dated Nicki Minaj. Like, that's all him on the left. Okay. Now,
be your own people.
Okay. But here's the thing.
This man
in the Rodney Jones lawsuit, the one that I was just talking about that included Meek Mill and, you know, references to that. Rodney Jones is suing Diddy, as well as like Love Records, which are like is Diddy's record label. But he's also in that lawsuit suing UMG, Universal Music Group, mm-hmm, the CEO of UMG, whose name is Sir Lucian Grange, as well as Motown Records. Okay. Mm. So that's also a part of the Rodney Jones lawsuit. This man on the right, if you are watching and not listening, the man on the right is the attorney for all three of those people that I just named. UMG, CEO of UMG, and Motown. Motown lines up under UMG. That's why.
Hey, man, paid, boy.
But I mean, typical, right? Like, if you sued Netflix and the CEO of Netflix, they would have an attorney, right? Like, that's the way that working, right? Yep. So, and Motown, which is a company, like a subsidiary of UMG, right? So it's all kind of filed up under them. I mean, they could have different attorneys, but in this case, this man, David, is the attorney that represents all three of them, okay? David, after the Rodney Jones lawsuit was filed, before mm-hmm. this Christian Combs one, David wrote an email to the judge that said basically that Tyrone Blackburn is violating Rule 11. And Rule 11, let's just talk about Rule 11 really quick. Rule 11 is a federal rule to attorneys. Mm-hmm. that requires them to do some sort of inquiry or like investigation into a claim before they file a lawsuit. So you can't just go, you're not supposed to be able to just go to an attorney and be like, Mel violated me on August 13th and I want to sue her. And then the attorney is like, yep. But they should do some type of like validating that that information is accurate to not waste court resources. It also, you can't as an attorney do things to kind of like penalize other people, like just make people pay money for pointless things. Like you, as an attorney, you kind of, it's a part of your oath. Like when you file paperwork, you are doing that with the pledge that this is a valid lawsuit that should take up court resources, that should be heard. And I verify that there is some truth to this, right? Yeah. In addition to that, you can't tell an attorney I did that. And then the attorney is like, I'm going to file this lawsuit in New York. Because, right, a part of all lawsuits is a part called like jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And you have to, as the attorney, explain why you are suing that person in the jurisdiction that you are suing them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's happening, what David is alleging happens, is that Tyrone Blackburn is suing his clients in particular. He literally was like, I ain't got nothing to do with Diddy and his team. Y'all got to talk to them. But when it comes to UMG, the CEO of UMG and Motown, Tyrone has done no inquiry. He has done no validating that my clients are a part of this. He has just filed this lawsuit and he did it in New York. And he, and David is saying he did it in New York because he wants the, he knows that when you file stuff in New York, it's going to get publicity. People are checking. People are going to know. Media.
I was just about to ask, what
is... Media is going, TMZ is going to know. Mm. So he is saying he has violated Rule 11. Mm. And so he wrote this letter to the judge saying that.
Tyrone, Tyrone.
The problem with that is that Tyrone has another lawsuit happening at the same time in New York. Mm-hmm. And that judge just said the same thing. The judge just made an order against Tyrone for a completely unrelated lawsuit. Mm. And what that judge said, I'll read the second paragraph. A reasonable inference from Blackburn's pattern of behavior is that he improperly files cases in federal court to garner media attention, embarrass defendants with salacious allegations, and pressure defendants to settle quickly. Indeed, his submissions to this court have been rife with disturbing allegations against the defendants and defense counsel. So David sent this to the judge in the Diddy case and was like, see, he has a pattern of behavior. Look what he's doing. So Tyrone responded. And so he says, this firm represents Rodney. I should also say just quickly, the first Rodney lawsuit was filed like in February. And then I actually did a video because that complaint was amended. Okay. And Cuba Gooding Jr. was added. There was some other stuff added. David, the UMG attorney, he said, that's not even a valid. He ain't even served me. That's not even a valid complaint. And so what he is saying to the judge is basically disallow him from actually filing this second amended complaint. Like, this is all trash. Take us out of it is what they're saying, what David is saying. So anyway, back to this letter. Tyrone says defendants UMG, Lucien Grange, and Motown Records have decided to scrummage through PACER, which is like the legal, like if you want to look up federal lawsuits, it's in PACER, in search of anything to distract and deflect from blatantly obvious fact that they cannot defend their actions as it relates to their business partnership with Sean Combs. So he goes into all of this. The next paragraph, I do not improperly file cases in federal court to garner media attention, embarrass defendants with salacious allegations, and pressure them to settle quickly. I gain no benefit from filing cases in federal court over state court, and I am not an ambulance chasing attorney who lives in front of a camera. Before filing any case, I always provide an opportunity for private resolution. If the case cannot be resolved privately, then I file. I do not pursue media attention. With this case alone, I have been inundated with invitations to appear on television shows, podcasts, and radio shows, both nationally and internationally, and I have rejected them all. So he is basically like, y'all are lying on me. That's not what happened. And so he also submitted another letter And he's basically explaining why UMG, UC and Grange, and Motown are included in this lawsuit. And I'm just going to attempt to walk it, you through. Basically, the Love album that Diddy did, mm-hmm. in which Rodney Jones worked on as a producer, mm-hmm. was financed through UMG and Motown Records.
Okay.
Okay. And so Rodney's claim against them is that you guys gave him, it was like $1.3 million, him being Diddy, and there was no checks and balances in place to ensure that the money that you provided to him was not being used on sex workers, on drugs, on guns, on any of that. You guys just gave him this money, mm-hmm. and there was no checks and balances. That's one. And so because of that, you are now liable for what he does with the money you gave him. You mm-hmm. essentially are financing a sex trafficking and drug trafficking and weapons, gun trafficking by a network ring. Mm-hmm. So that's the first part. The other thing that Rodney says in the lawsuit is that there are countless times in which Lucian Grange has been present at the studio or Diddy's house or Diddy's party when those things were happening. And so therefore his claim is you guys did this and actually were aware
of
how your money was being spent and you still did nothing and therefore you're liable.
Yeah.
So that is why they are included. Mm-hmm. And of course, like I said, the attorney's response is, take our name off this. We ain't got nothing to do with this. So that's essentially, go ahead. You have something to say.
Tyrone.
Yes.
It's hard to get over his first sentence about the auto tune.
Yeah, yeah.
Apple doesn't right. fall far from the
right.
tree.
And that's so why this now, kind of stuff, is the context is important.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Because now reading that, I already threw you out. Mm. Like you mean you're not serious to me
okay.
anymore.
Okay.
But now reading this, it's more like, okay, man, if you would have came hitting like this from the jump, I would have been on your side. So now I'm kind of conflicted.
Okay.
But
we have more.
I see that the what you just explained
uh-huh.
makes total sense.
Oh, good. Though. I'm happy.
Yes. Because
good.
If I'm funding you and you're doing stuff with the money and I'm not checking behind you and I make money based on what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lesson learned. So I think they need to pay Jones, get up out of there, and the next Diddy or the next client they have or the next star they help fund, check and balance it. Hey, I need to see what you're spending your money on. Whatever you're doing,
yeah.
I need check and balances because we won't get sued like this again.
So, because there's more. So this is just more of his letter explaining
Hold on.
Why.
This man, Tyrone, name is Tyrone, and his last name is Blackburn.
Yes. What's wrong with Blackburn?
It's just got, it got the name Black in, like Tyrone by itself is just a black.
Oh, shut up.
Tyrone Blackburn.
Yes.
All right.
Somebody said two things can be true at the same time, and I think that's important. That is very, very important because there can be maybe, and that's the conflict it seems like you're speaking about, which is that Tyrone seems shady,
yeah,
but also some of this feels valid. And you'll see actually the plaintiff, meaning Rodney Jones and through Tyrone, respectfully request leave to amend so he can file his second amended complaint. The plaintiff will cure some of the issues the defendants have raised and add Cuba Gooding Jr. as a defendant. So again, this goes to David's point of like, he tried to say he filed the second one and he has it. So now Tyrone is like, my bad, fix it. And I'm a refile it. Let me refile it. But okay, so before I go to the next slide, I just again
Ooh, I wanna, saw something
I know I just want to give a little bit of context. Okay, So in addition to filing these letters, Tyrone filed mm-hmm. A lot of, again, what UMG is saying is that he ain't even do no research, none of this exists, he's lying, whatever. And so what Tyrone had Rodney Jones do is submit a declaration. A declaration is essentially the lawsuit, but like a little more specific. I, meaning Rodney, have can show proof that on September 13th, this happened with this person, right? Like, those are the kind of statements in a declaration. He's declaring, let me show you what I got. Mm-hmm. So in addition to these letters, Tyrone had Rodney do a declaration. I am going to go through some of the declaration.
Okay. This was
filed yesterday, by the way.
Oh, so this is filed. This is public knowledge.
Yeah, yes.
So any and everybody can look at this.
You can join my Patreon, patreon.com. I'm not a lawyer, and you can get access to all of the documents that I use on this podcast and in my videos.
You heard it here first.
Okay, so this was literally filed yesterday, and let's just go. There was a lot of talk about T.D. Jakes, people making a lot of claims about T.D. Jakes. This is the specific claim or what is being mentioned about T.D. in this lawsuit. And I think I wanted to go through this because there was a lot of people saying a lot of crazy things, which I think is unfair. So let's just go through what Rodney is specifically saying regarding T.D. and Diddy. Okay. I have videos of, this is Rodney. I have videos from the declaration. I have videos of Mr. Combs and me working out on the treadmill with T.D. Jakes playing on the monitor. We watched T.D. Jakes sermons every morning during our workouts. At first, I thought it was admirable that Mr. Combs listened to sermons while working out until I realized he was not studying the message. He was studying the messenger's mannerisms. During our gym sessions, he detailed how he planned to leverage his relationship with Bishop T.D. Jakes to soften the impact on his public image of Cassie Ventura's pending lawsuit. Mm. There are no claims in here about anything other than that, okay? So all the people who was trying to be messy and say all the things about TD.
Shame on you.
This is what it said about
shame.
TD, just so we're clear. I just shame wanted to be y'all. Clear. All right.
Y'all know
let's go
TD
to the next
ain't
one.
About that life.
During this time, again, this is Rodney talking, I was forced to solicit workers and perform acts to the pleasure of Mr. Combs. Unbeknownst to me, and this is important, Mr. Combs had hidden cameras and audio devices in all of the rooms of his homes. I only discovered this several months into living with him when I had to pick up my Uber Eats delivery from the security office. Usually the security would bring my food deliveries to me whenever I was in Mr. Combs' home, but at this point I was close and familiar with the security, so they called me to their room and told me I could go in and retrieve my food. I saw 4 to 6 large flat screen television monitors at that time. Each monitor had at least 20 to 30 little screens in them. Each screen was a view of a room in and surrounding Mr. Combs' home. This is important because remember that raid?
Yeah.
Remember the federal raid that just happened?
Yeah.
Remember? Okay. Okay. So if that's the truth,
they got some tapes.
And any of Rodney's claims about what happened and who was there and what was going down.
Yeah.
They went to that security room and got that footage.
What's wild, too, though,
is what you could expect.
They had security in those rooms. So you got guys or women, whoever, in those rooms monitoring the monitors that see what's going on.
100%.
They need to get those people.
100%. I'm sure they're making a list, checking it twice.
They need to ask them what's happening, what they done seen, because that's totally wild. And to have them in there monitoring the monitors, they had to be tight with Diddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there wasn't no just regular old security out there. It was his homeboys or his partner, somebody that was
probably
protecting
around for a long time. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, let me go back to it. Number 73, Mr. Combs, this is, okay, Shade, just get ready. I'm not saying it's the truth.
Who
just to be
this?
Clear, this is Rodney Jones's declaration.
Oh, he's still
don't
at
stone
it.
Me. I'm just saying what's included in the declaration. Mr. Jones told me that it is normal practice in the music industry. Look, okay, this was a part of the original lawsuit. So we know the claim about Stevie J. Stevie J is doing it. He also shared, this is Rodney Jones talking about Diddy. He also shared that there are many other known artists who engage in sexual intercourse with men. The next sentence says, during my time living with Mr. Combs, I have personally witnessed these men and others visit houses and disappear in his bedroom for hours. Several of these men own record labels and have notable catchphrases like, quote, and another one, or, quote, Maybach Music, end quote. I can provide those names at the court's request. Listen.
Man. And man, it goes. Say the name, man. You over here playing games.
It all goes this back information, to.
And you going to go say that.
It goes back to Tyrone Blackburn. As an attorney writing. Well, I mean, this is Rodney's declaration, but like the language of that is like saying a Philadelphia rapper that dated Nicki Minaj. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it becomes clickbait.
Yeah. Hey.
It becomes
clickbait.
The guy
that did it, he was born West Philadelphia. Born and raised.
On a playground is where I spent most of my days.
That's all I got to say. But if y'all want me to tell y'all who it was,
yeah,
it's going to be, I'm going to be in court next week, Thursday at 3 o'clock. Be there.
Yeah. Essentially. It speaks to the claim by David, in my opinion, and I'm not a lawyer, but it speaks to David saying he makes these salacious claims in these lawsuits,
yeah,
to garner media attention,
yeah,
to get people to look, to get people to post, to get, yeah, people to retweet, to and it's like, I mean, this is a declaration, so do you have proof of this? He's saying I have personally witnessed these men and others, but like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, a lot of stuff gets
Tyrone
called into
ain't
question.
Checking it. Tyrone,
well, how can just, you even cut check that? Yeah, if somebody you tells you that's your word, although what did Fonnie Willis say? The word of one is enough to provide fact, something like that. It's a very lawyer-y tweet sentence, and I was like, ooh, I need to remember that. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Tyrone is kind of, not Tyrone, but is it Jerome? Who's
Rodney?
Rodney. With the Stevie J situation,
uh-huh, which was,
they've already proven him, uh-huh, wrong on that.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So now,
and he took
jumping.
That back in the next one. He took the photos out of the updated lawsuit.
Okay. So you're discreditable right now. You're mentioning, and another one, and Maybach that. Music.
Yeah.
Like, how do you go from being wrong up here with Steve? Well, this was all done at one time.
What?
This declaration.
This declaration was done. It was filed yesterday.
Oh, it was filed yesterday. So he still filed it yesterday with Stevie J's name?
Yeah. So the amended complaint that was filed like 2 weeks ago, maybe, the pictures were taken out. But Rodney said, I still believe that the video that Diddy showed me was Stevie, and Diddy told me it was Stevie. So he still is kind of standing 10 toes down, but he did take the photos were removed from the actual lawsuit.
Oh, so.
But he's still not, standing 10 toes down. Oh,
okay.
On it.
See, yeah. I'm thinking he said, okay.
It's not true. No.
He's still saying this is true.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, disregard what I was about to say then. But whoever those guys are, Maybach and
another one.
Good luck finding those guys.
And then this one I'll skim through, only because we've been on this a long time. He talks about Daphne Joy, who, again, is 50 Cent's baby's mom. Mm-hmm. And it says, Mr. Combs bragged about having Daphne Joy, the child mother of a competing rapper, on payroll as one of his workers. I have video of Mr. Combs on a massage table receiving a massage from a professional masseuse while Daphne Joy is giving him a foot massage, which I'm like, okay, is that incriminating? I'm not really sure. He also talks about, like, allegedly he bragged about getting Shine to take the heat for an incident that we all know about in LA from a long time ago. He talks about, quote, Mr. Combs bragged about the power he has and the fact that he beat up record executive Steve Stout's ass. I had to Google that because I was like, I don't remember, did that make it? But apparently everybody knew about this. This is a story that was in the media about this particular incident. So apparently, you know, Rodney's saying he bragged about that. There's another person he allegedly brags about beating up. And then the next one says, is it this one? Maybe it's not. Let me go to the next one. Oh, I thought there was one more. Maybe not. Common practice music virus. Okay, I don't know.
He provides investments. He invests in Wingstop.
Apparently, as a shell company. Yeah.
But you all know who owns Wingstop.
Yes. He owns franchises of it. He's not the old franchise. Yeah. So, and I think he's, anyway. So that is, again, the lawsuit. This is what I was saying about jurisdiction, right? So this is the jurisdiction for, I think, the Christian Combs lawsuit. This is how Tyrone explains basically why he's doing it here. The court has personal jurisdiction over defendants under and consistent with the constitutional requirements of due process, and that the defendants acting directly or through their agents or apparent agents committed one or more of the following. So you can, the short version, you can file a lawsuit in that particular jurisdiction if the transaction of any business within that state, the making of any contract within that state, the commission of a tortious act within that district, and the ownership, use, or possession of any real estate in this state. Mm. Here, and then this is the one from the Rodney Jones one. What's interesting about this that I thought was interesting, at least, is that the Rodney Jones lawsuit was filed in New York, right? When Diddy's house was raided, the house in L.A., Beverly Hills got raided. House in Miami got raided. And a lot of what...
He had a third house that was raided as well.
No, two.
Nah, it was three.
Okay, find it.
It was three homes.
Okay, find it. Mm-hmm. While you attempt to find something that won't exist, I'm going to say that it's interesting that those two places got raided. And when you go through the lawsuit, much of what he talks about happened was in LA. He talks about that Chalice Studios, which is in LA. He talks about flying to places overseas, St. Bart's or something like that. He talks about Miami a lot. So Florida, but there actually really isn't a ton of mention about New York. So actually once that part, I said, it actually is interesting that he would file that case in New York, because so it's for me, it started to give a little bit of validation to the fact that, why did you file that here? And then the Christian Combs lawsuit, right after all of this publicity happens, that one is filed in LA.
You're correct.
I know I am. You think I don't research and do? I make videos all day.
I'm saying.
I literally do this, you guys. I can own it. All day. I know you can. Anyway, the point is, I just found it interesting that, and for me, it started to validate the claim from David.
That is, because you talking about Miami.
Yes.
All the way over here. LA all the way over here, and you go up to New York to go file this claim.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get noticed. Stop playing games. Tyrone.
Okay, we have been here a long time. Mm-hmm. And
oh my goodness.
I know.
The baby.
I know. Do you want to quickly talk? What do you want to do? You want to do Calvin Riley? You want to do the conspiracy? How we can do this?
Oh, Calvin Riley. We can't do, let's do Calvin Riley next week. Or is okay. That even going to be a thing next week?
I probably won't cover it next week. It'll just be so removed, but.
But you can't even, we can't cover it in that amount of time anyway.
I was just going to, I can play the, well, yeah, it probably won't do justice.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get on my eclipse situation. Okay. So, are you going to play the video? There we go. So, it's not a conspiracy theory, or is it? I'm not sure. But the eclipse, during this whole situation, people have been making claims the eclipse has energy. You pray, you go out, you look up into the sky, and you become a new person, all of that. Okay. If you believe in that, that's cool. I understand that. But this situation has me really thinking about the eclipse and the history, is the eclipse trying to show us something or tell us something?
Wait, that's what it's made you think?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like if something's going to happen.
Okay. I didn't know that's what you were thinking. I thought that's what everybody else were thinking, and you were like, that's crazy.
No. What everybody else was thinking is like, the eclipse is causing people to see demon faces.
Oh, okay.
Or the eclipse is it's a portal to where aliens are gonna come into our atmosphere.
Okay.
That type of stuff.
Okay.
I don't believe in that.
Okay.
But is the does the eclipse, is the eclipse trying to show us something?
Okay.
All right. So in this video, this guy, you got to help me out. I did. Okay. All right. So this guy here, he's not related to me. I don't know him.
Okay.
He's a handsome young fella though.
All right, sir.
Light skinned beard, yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, hey. All right. So, just listen for a second.
I showed this map already, and I'll just show it again for context. The New Madrid seismic zone is known for three great eclipses. It's also, three great earthquakes, and it's also known as one of the most biggest dangers to America.
All right. So, that zone where the New Madrid line is, it crosses, right? So right where you see, well, on the screen now, you see that red, but that's where the 2017 eclipse and the 2024 eclipse, they crossed right in that section.
Okay.
All right. Also, coming from the west and coming from the east are fault lines. If you don't know what fault lines are, fault lines are basically unlevel lines that are in the earth, almost like if the earth shook and one side, it broke.
Okay.
The earth broke and it never just became level again.
Okay.
That's a fault line.
All right.
All right. So these fault lines travel from the west to the east and they intersect at the same point where the eclipse intersected.
Okay.
All right. So this red area, which I never knew, is showing you where the hazards are for earthquakes, the highest potential of earthquakes.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
In the same intersection of where the eclipse were.
Okay.
Which is wild to me. I don't know if you all knew, but that's like Missouri.
That's what I was going to say. Where is this?
That's Missouri and...
This is a map from USGS. And as you can see, talking about the highest hazards and lowest hazards, this is the bar, this is the meter. All right. And as you can see right here, where the X marks the spot simultaneously with the eclipse and the earthquakes, the activity is very, very high. And threat level and danger level is very, very high. So this is an exodus sign. The exodus sign. This is a sign of an exodus, a physical, spiritual, mental awakening.
And this is when I start tapping out.
And it's also a prophetic sign for a people.
Okay, wait, pause. Because we do have to go. This is where I stopped tapping out. We started talking about prophetic signs. But what can I just, I want to restate... Is what they're saying where
you can take this down.
Where the eclipse met
mm-hmm.
is also the highest potential for an earthquake.
Yes.
Okay, that feels like good enough. I don't know why they started deterring talking about spiritual stuff.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I totally agree.
Okay.
With the spiritual stuff and like I said, the new energies and all that stuff, I can't grab onto that, but
if they can predict earthquakes, I might be in.
And this is the other thing, they've been knowing this eclipse was going to be happening for what, the past 20 years. They know when the eclipse is going to come, they know what time it's going to happen. So, is this a sign from God, or is this just earth being earth?
Is it science?
Science being science, you know, it just makes you think.
Yeah.
Also, they have a doomsday. Map. If you look on a doomsday map where they believe, you know, the earth is going to just come to an end. California is going to be underwater. Florida, for some reason, is going to be untouched. But certain parts of the United States are going to be destroyed. But right at that intersection.
Is this the rapture? Jesus? Revelation?
I don't know.
Oh.
But right at that intersection, the earth is going to split. The land is going to split even more. So that's what the guy was saying. So, you know, what y'all think about that? Because I'm, yeah, it just seems kind of crazy that all those points intersect. That's all.
I'm fascinated by the earthquake part, for sure.
I am too, because I never knew earthquakes happened that much in that area. Missouri.
Yeah, I didn't know earthquakes Texas, was happening Kentucky. In the middle of the country. Did you look that part up for sure? When's the last time? Yeah. When's the last time they had one?
They always have them. They're just not.
They're not big.
They're not big. The last.
I might be tapping out. I want it to be like a impactful earthquake that like they are. If they're having like a little bit of shake, like that don't seem that impactful.
But it's an earthquake. But the last major ones were back in 1811, 1812. They had three, and they were on the Richter scale, sevens and eights.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, you know.
All right.
Anyway, eclipse. It's a new gooseberry shed in my skin. I feel good. Look good.
Hilarious.
I'm good.
Thank you for joining another episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But.
The Debrief.
I'm Not a Lawyer, But. Follow me on all the socials, all the pages, all the things. Thanks for listening. Follow him on
IG, GOOLZBY, and let us tell it on YouTube. I hope I did better, and I was speaking into the microphone pretty loudly today. Oh, yeah, because
people were talking about that last time.
All right.
Leave us comments. Tell us what you think about the show, what you want us to talk about, cover. If you got a good conspiracy, send it to Greg. Don't send it to me. Talk to y'all.